We are rolling. Yes, episode 47. We're getting close to 50, and fuck me.
We just found out some terrible news. Unfortunately, the legendary George A. Romero has passed away today.
He doesn't. He's gone on to the other plane.
Right.
No ticket or nothing. He just went. No boarding pass. We didn't know. I mean,
very sad.
He was older?
77.
But come on, people have made it to 90, right?
Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, he did smoke like a chimney, but...
Oh, that's true. I don't think he ever stopped that. That was his one...
Right, that was his biggest vice.
Like, outside of movies, that's the other thing you'd know him for.
Pretty much, yeah. His chain smoking.
Yo, you want to talk about the movies, you got to smoke first.
Okay.
Yeah,
man.
77 years old.
Right. Did they ever say what he passed away from? Or
I don't. Exactly. You know what? There's just so many tweets and mentions of him here and there. I was just like, you know what? I don't even need to know what it was. The fact that he's not here no more. I'm like, that's more the thing. All I can say is when I read it, I just want to know that my man didn't suffer.
Right.
I want to know that my man went like, you know, it was like, I'm gonna go take a nap. I'm thinking about a scene.
Yeah.
And my man just slipped into the scene and stayed in this film permanently.
Yeah, man. It's a real bummer. I idolize this man a lot. He's actually, I think George Romero is the reason why I even got into horror when I was a lot younger. I mean, my first favorite horror movie of all time was Night of the Living Dead. So it's just like
Night. You know what's funny? I remember having seen Night.
Right.
And I remember growing up and. When I hadn't seen the other ones, they were like, and I can say this honestly, no other film, they were the movies I needed to see, The Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead. Whenever I'd see documentaries when I was younger, they'd always show scenes.
Right.
And in my head, it was like, I gotta find those movies. But I was like 8-9 years old. I don't know what movie this is. I'm just seeing the scene and I'm like, I need to see this.
Yeah.
And I saw them, but no other movies have ever left an impression where I was like, I need to see these.
Right.
Just off like I remember watching some documentary where they showed a couple of seconds from Day of the Dead where the giant elevator's coming down with all the zombies on it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. From outside.
It's only like 5 seconds of footage. And I remember seeing it and I'm like,
that's terrifying.
Awesome.
Yeah.
My pants is wet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On two different levels, on fear and just how awesome it is. And just that 5 seconds. And then, like, I remember spending probably almost a decade being like, what movie is that? 8-year-old kid, like, I need to know what movie that is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. I totally can relate, dude. I mean,
You went into film. You followed the man.
Went
into the film. I mean,
yeah.
I've dabbled.
Right. Yeah, man.
You a full on heroin addict. I've done coke.
He definitely was like possibly one of my biggest inspirations, man. I mean, without a doubt. Again, Night of the Living Dead is my favorite film of all time. So it's just like, you know, it's very sad to see this guy pass away. And it was crazy too, because I was actually just talking about him yesterday. I was telling somebody about this new Arrow release of this Blu-ray collection that is coming out next month. I think it's the George Romero collection.
Oh, and, really?
It's,
damn.
Yeah, and it's the films between Night and Dawn. So
people forget he did other stuff. He didn't just do these zombie films.
He did a lot. Yeah. So it was between Night and Dawn. He did a film called what was it? Season of the Witch. He did The Crazies.
Yes.
And
which got remade. Too. Movie that's good enough. It was so good. It left an impact. Not a big impact like the other ones, but an impact enough that they wanted to remake it.
Right. And then he also did There's Always Vanilla. And the three of those are in the box set or whatever. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know what? I'm like, I kind of want to pick up this box set, but at the same time, like, it's a little too expensive. I don't know if I will. Maybe I'll do it. And I'll wait, like, maybe like down the line, if like God forbid he ever passes away, I'll pick up the box set.
Lo and behold, you're like, and now he passes away
a day later,
and I gotta go get my credit card.
I have to. Yeah. So I'll drop $100. I don't care. I'll do it.
It's you know, it's funny. I know the title. There's Always Vanilla. I've never seen it. Have you actually ever seen that one?
I've never seen There's Always Vanilla.
Because I know his filmography. That's listed as. basically the next film after Night of the Living Dead.
Right. Right.
Season of the Witch, I know I've seen. The Crazies, I've seen. I don't even think I ever finished watching the remake because I was like...
Yeah, yeah. It did not
do it
justice.
Same, it's the same story.
Right.
But it's not the same delivery.
Right. The Crazies was a lot of fun. There was a few familiar faces in that movie. There was like... a few actors and actresses from like the 70s that I remember seeing in other stuff. I just can't really point a finger on it. But The Crazies was definitely a shitload of fun. Wasn't, oh gosh, I feel like there's a lot of big names in that movie that I don't remember.
Let's and, let me and go your, over
the
here.
Original
let's
The Crazies.
See if I can bring that up.
I was, know,
and then there's the Martin. The Martin.
Maria Martin.
And now Martin Lawrence. Yeah. This is like, yo, Gina. No.
I'm asked out, Gina. I ain't got no more money. No. This Gina, I'm asked out.
Oh, no.
This is, Martin is good. Martin was about like this like teenage boy that like thought he was a vampire, so he used like syringes.
Yeah,
to, like,
they he played the way Romero did it. It plays on the fact of, is he or isn't he? Like,
right.
They really focus on, okay, this really could be mental, but then it gets to some scenes where it's like, wait, okay, maybe this kid got something going on.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely have to like revisit that. That's actually, besides The Crazies, I think that's like the second movie that George Romero did that is not one of the Dead movies that like reached like a huge cult following.
Yeah,
because The Crazies reached a huge following and whatever, and then this right after, like people were just like, "Whoa, this Romero guy is like not only just a Dead dude, like
yeah, he can do horror.
He can do like a large variety of horror. So he did Martin. Then he came out with Dawn, which was.
Dawn of the Dead, which was, what was it, Zombie? In
right.
Italy, was it Zombie?
It was the second part of Night, and the subtext of the film was all about, like, consumerism and, like, how, like, we are all, like,
we are the zombies going to the mall.
Right. And, like,
which,
the whole thing.
I was at the mall today, and you could see it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you so see it?
Yeah. And then
and
Shaun
especially
the Dead
now,
did it.
And, oh, even now, I mean, even though it's funny that they remade the movie.
Right.
And that message got lost in the remake. The remake was great. Still,
yeah, the remake's
fun. As a more action zombie movie, but
right.
It lost the subtext of Romero. But even now, today, that movie would make sense because not only are we slaves and zombies to commercialism in like the malls,
right?
Now you're really walking like a zombie, looking down at your phone every 5 seconds.
Oh,
like,
without a doubt,
I've got to tweet this.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, man, that actually would have been a good one for George to make now.
To follow up, be like, listen, I'm going to remake my own remake.
Right. So he, Dawn of the Dead, and which was just I feel like the cult following from Dawn actually was bigger than Night.
It seems to be, and I think it's because the, and even he said it himself, because Night kind of started it, but Dawn really pulled people more into it because Dawn had, I think it's also the fact that people, if you look at the story, the way the story goes, and I'm pretty sure anyone listening, if I'm spoiling anything for you, you can go fuck yourself because you should have seen this shit by now.
If you're listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you've seen all these movies. So.
But the first one ends on, as much as everyone's surviving, there's really no survivors almost.
No, there isn't. Yeah,
That's the thing with Dawn. You had survivors. You had people showing that there is potential to survive in the mall, and then they actually survive.
Right.
And that's why Day of the Dead, when he did it later, even he said so many people loved it, but at the same time, so many people complain that it's a downer. That's why I think so many people would rather go to Dawn of the Dead because they're survivors.
Right.
And a pregnant survivor, too.
Yes, that's true. The girl and Ken Foray's character, they both...
You know what I do feel bad about? The supposed alternate filmed ending for the movie.
Oh, Ken Foray was supposed to die?
Where the other ending, it supposedly, and there's no footage of it. It went missing, supposedly.
Right.
And the fact that no one's ever found it, maybe now after his death, whoever has it will come out with it.
Hopefully.
But it went missing, supposedly, at a party. Like, they filmed, shot it was in the can, and the can went missing.
Oh.
Like, after they were doing a party. Basically, the story is, if I remember, Ken Foray pulls a trigger on himself. And then the girl just keeps looking and waiting and waiting. When she doesn't see him come up, looks at the sun coming up, looks at her belly, and just sticks her head into the blades.
Oh my God,
that's a dark ass. And quite honestly, I'd have no problem with that.
Wait, they filmed it?
Supposedly they filmed it.
Oh shit.
And there's been rumors. I mean, I've met Mr. Romero, and I didn't ask him that at the time. I didn't even know about that. But there's a rumor that it was filmed. And I've seen I remember there is a documentary where I think he does mention it, and they just don't know what happened to it. It just went missing.
So it's like these film cans that are like missing to like
the
original.
Yeah, I'm like, the man's passed away. Some, if you have this, motherfucker, bring that shit
back.
Yeah,
man. That's like fucking, right. That's like national treasure. You know what I mean?
That,
like,
yeah, that shit is not yours.
Yeah, right.
It belongs to the ages.
Right. Right, yeah. So after Dawn came Knight Riders.
Which I have it on DVD. I'm too scared to open it.
Oh, it's fun.
Oh my God.
It's a fun movie,
but at the same time, it also looks like one of those movies like halfway through, you're like, why haven't I shot myself in the face for watching
this? It's exactly that. Yeah, yeah. It's these dudes that like they race on like motocross supermotos or whatever, and they're like dressed as like knights.
They're like, it's like King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table.
Right, but with motocross.
And I think Tom Savini himself, I think, is in it.
Right.
Ed Harris?
It looks like Ed Harris. I don't know if it is Ed Harris.
Let's click.
I could have sworn it's the blonde dude from Dawn of the Dead. It might be Ed Harris.
Let's see. We're bringing it up here. Ed Harris.
Oh, it is Ed Harris. Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ken Foray. Yeah.
Manja.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of recycled people from like his past films. Like
if you do a good film with him or you do good by him, I think he rehires you.
Right, right. That's what Knight Riders was. Like when I was watching, I'm like, oh shit, wait, isn't that the dude from Dawn, the dude from Night?
Joseph Pilato as a disgruntled farewell. Oh, so that's
Stephen
like three.
King as Hoagie Man.
I was about to say that actually.
I'm Hoagie Man.
Okay. Now the Hoagie Man. Making sandwiches at night.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those movies. You know what it is, man? It's one of those movies that like you're gonna watch if you're a Romero fan, but you're not gonna be like, dude.
I have that shit still in the cellophane.
I have to buy it.
And then after that came the famous Creepshow.
The
legendary. Oh my God, Stephen King again, right?
Stephen King wrote it, right? And George Romero directed it.
I believe so. Yeah.
Right.
And oh my gosh.
It's out of this world. It's
just the names of the people in there. I mean, there's Stephen King. Jesus Christ.
Stephen King played the plant dude. Ed Harris is in it again. I mean, Ed Harris is.
I see his name right there.
Ted Danson.
That was the other name. Leslie Nielsen. Yeah.
In a serious role, too.
Yeah, in a serious role in a movie that's horror, not a comedy, not a drama. I mean, the man started off as a drama actor and then ended up as a more or less comedic actor before his death.
Tom Atkins played like the abusive father. Tom Savini did a little cameo in there.
Just the amount of people in this movie alone, and the fact that it's
Hal Holbrook.
These stories here, the fact that it's multiple stories.
Hal Holbrook, who was also in John Carpenter films too, I believe. But like, regardless, Creepshow was out of this world, man. The style.
Yeah, I was about to say, the fact that he actually, while you're watching a movie, he still reminds you, this is a comic book. This is a comic.
That's exactly what he did.
Which is something that even the new comic movies don't even bother doing.
Right, right. Yeah, like, there's scenes in this film, I'm pretty sure most of you have watched it, but there's scenes in this film that the transitions between scenes or whatever would be like a comic book. And like, you would see like the scene would like turn into like a comic strip, and then like out of nowhere the narrator would have like the written part on top, like, meanwhile this and that. And even
with that, some of the reaction scenes, some of like the scenes where people reacting, the lighting suddenly, it goes from movie lighting to almost like extreme lighting change,
like animated lighting almost, like,
yeah, like, almost, like, yeah, like the one picture that came up before where the woman's lit up blue, but her background is like a comic book explosion background lit up in red.
With like zigzags behind her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that happened a lot.
And I know, I forgot, one of the recent superhero movies kind of does that once or twice in the film, but that's it.
Right, right.
He does it throughout the whole damn film.
Yeah, it's so stylized. Like, it's insane. Absolutely crazy.
And for a comic series that was like going through hell, like where people were trying to kill it and get rid of it.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, even like the music and like the stories itself were so like schlocky and like so awesome. Like the Father's Day one is so great.
Give me my cake, bitch. Like the fucking head on the plate.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made a toy of that. I think they actually made a toy of that.
Yeah, yeah.
which yeah. anyone out there, if you want, I will make an Amazon wish list where you could buy it for. But that's besides the point.
Right, right. Where's my cake, and, bitch?
But, and it's funny that brings up that the idea of people talk about, oh, no one ever makes good comic book movies. Motherfucker, there it is right there in the 80s.
Right.
That's, what is it? What year was that? 82.
81, 82, yeah, around there.
So, that's before the new Tim Burton's Batman.
Right.
Granted, yes, that is after Superman.
Right.
So, you have two movies, Creepshow and Superman right there. Comic book movies, big comic book movies, and people forget that Creepshow is a comic book movie.
Right, right, right.
Just because it's not freaking Marvel or DC, right. and there's no one wearing panties on the outside of their underwear flying around fighting crime.
Yeah, man.
Actually, it's more like people dressed normally running around committing crime.
What was what was your favorite segment in Creepshow?
You know, I have to...
There was a, you want me to give you a rundown? I sort of remember.
No, I remember them. It's just, I think every time I think about them, the one that always comes to mind is the one with Stephen King.
Oh God, meteor shit.
Oh, oil boy.
Yeah, you old lughead.
And then, because it starts off so happy.
Right.
Oh, like, oh my God, I found a meteor. Look at this. This is weird. And then, what the hell? That's funky. And it just loads the build to the point of, fuck this, I'm blowing my brains out.
Yeah.
It's such a 180 from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And the fact that it stars someone you wouldn't expect to star, the star of that whole thing is Stephen King.
Right. And he's got a crazy ass unibrow.
And it's just him the whole time, if you realize it.
Yeah.
That story, it's just him as an old hillbilly on a farm.
Right, right. Yeah, the lonesome death of Jordy Verrill. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's right. If you look here, looking at the credits here, it's only two people. The other guy is listed as Jody's father and doctor, which is, they're like memories.
Right.
It's like flashbacks in his mind.
Right. Yeah, man. I liked, Father's Day was great, but, the one with Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson, that was a good
with
one.
The
dude.
Beach?
I think that's my favorite one. And then those sea zombies come back or whatever. Like
weird sound that they have.
Yeah, yeah, that one's really good, dude.
and then even the best, what I like, Leslie Nielsen, like you said, playing a serious role.
Yeah,
the motherfucker's buried, gonna die. I can hold my breath for a
long time.
Exactly. Even you about to die, and he's like, "You can't beat me."
Right, right.
It's like, well, you ain't about to get out of this, and you still think you can survive.
That was so good, dude.
And the makeup
was out of this.
Oh,
world.
They look waterlogged.
Yeah. And then, you know what I loved? Isham, like Leslie Nielsen, fired off a shot, and like it would hit the water zombies in the head instead of blood. Water came out.
Yeah, like it's like.
Just spurted out like that shit was so crazy.
Oh my God, the little tiny things. And that was Tom Savini, I think, in that one, was it? Or was it Rick Baker?
Oh, that was all Tom Savini.
That was Savini.
Yeah,
okay,
because yeah.
I don't know, because I was gonna say, I know the monster in the crate one,
but
was I don't know why it made me think of Rick Baker, something about the look of it, though.
Well, the look of it was very like cartoony, and that's definitely like something Savini does, like cartoony shit. You know, like Rick Baker is a little bit more like this, like vicious, you know, like body horror type of shit.
He's a mean old man.
Yeah. So after Creepshow, between Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead was just Creepshow Knight Riders, and then he came out with the legendary Day of the Dead,
the one where it ends with the whole almost everybody dead. You only get three survivors, a white man, a black man, and a white woman.
Right.
Tell me how they're going to keep that world going.
Right.
But yeah, that one's so much. And the famous Bub.
Bub, yes. Oh, yeah, the smartest zombie ever or whatever.
Well, until Big Daddy.
Until Big Daddy, correct. But wasn't Bub, that was George's favorite zombie, right? Then he said
I think it ended up being his favorite because there was more behind it. The fact that it wasn't necessarily evil.
Right.
You got to see another side of it. He got to write another side of it. And even the story itself was like such a watered down version of what he originally
wanted
to put down.
Yeah, I heard that the original budget was for like millions of dollars.
His original story was like freaking Lord of the Rings.
Right. And then like the studio's like, we're not going to do this, dude.
Yeah, the studio's like, not for no horror movie that's probably going to get NC, well, not even NC-17 back then, which is like X.
Right, yeah.
And then automatically X just makes it look like it's pornographic, even if it's not.
Yeah. But Day of the Dead, till... when it came to all his movies up until Day of the Dead, Day of the Dead is by far the most gruesome George Romero movie ever made. And now it changed. You know, his updated ones are more gruesome, but that movie was like revolutionary. Like, it was
the gore. Gore.
It was gruesome.
And as much as he did, there was some gore in Dawn of the Dead.
Right.
The difference was the gore you saw in Dawn of the Dead was them more or less eating what's already dead.
Right.
It was in Day of the Dead where we got to see them eating the son of a bitch while the son of a bitch is still alive.
Right, right.
Especially with like Rhodes at the end.
Oh my god.
He's being eaten and he's still screaming.
Togana.
Yeah, dude. And I feel like the death scenes in Day were a lot more like playful. Like I could tell like George Romero had a lot of fun like thinking of like these death scenes. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, yeah. Like they were a lot more like out there, you know. especially the Rhodes death at the end was insane.
And then, I mean, they did Document of the Dead, which was just kind of a supplement to the movie. But that was...
Right.
He's in it, but he just talks.
Right, yeah.
But if you haven't seen Document of the Dead, I do suggest it because there is a lot of stuff of people working on the film talking, not just him. So you get an idea of what was... You get a good idea and view because there's lots of footage and behind-the-scenes pictures that you don't see much of for the other two movies.
Right, yeah.
Because by then it was like, we know we're making part three.
Yeah.
By now we know people want this shit, so we're going to be filming and taking pictures.
Right, yeah. And then after that, Creepshow Part 2, but he did not direct that, though. I think he wrote it.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He didn't direct it. But nonetheless, it was a fun movie. Tom Savini also, I think...
I don't even remember the stories in that one either.
Yeah, I like The Raft. That was a good one.
Yeah,
The Raft was good. With that guck, that like giant...
The giant turd monster.
Yes, that came out of the water.
In the end, it's like, oh, it's not even that it killed you. It's just shit. It just rubs itself, and you're like, ew, motherfucker.
Right. No, but then it burns you.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's like acid. It's like eating you alive.
Like hot diarrhea, just burning you alive. Like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Only from the outside, not the inside. Instead of coming out of you, it's coming on you.
Exactly.
And the ending with the kid, I outswam you.
Yeah.
The hell you fuck you. And then that shit's like, motherfucker, come here.
Yeah. You ain't going nowhere, bitch.
And then the fact that you see the sign at the end, no swimming.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you didn't even, that story would have been great without the sign. And then you see the sign there, it's like, motherfucker, you should have saw the sign.
Wait, do you remember the segment, the hitchhiker one? The hitchhiker, where it was like this woman that was having an affair and her husband, and she's driving home from her booty call, and she hits this guy with her car, and she's like, shit, like, I have to drive away because I can't have my husband find out that I went to go have this booty call.
Yeah, where was I coming from when I hit this guy? Yeah.
So then this dude, his like ghost, his like battered, like this mutilated body returns from the dead, and he's just like on top of her car the whole time. He's just like, hey lady, can I get a ride?
It's funny because you can also think to yourself, shit, she didn't kill him, she just knocked his brains loose.
Yeah, and he's just disappearing.
All he can think to himself is, this, I'm connected to this car, bitch, I need a ride.
Yeah, bitch, can I get a ride? Come on, bitch.
And then the big twist would have been at the end, he goes, all right, let me just get a dollar.
Yeah.
Let me get a dollar for the bus.
Yeah, man. So let's see. So it was. Let's see. Oh, Monkey Shines, dude.
What in that? Another one that has that twist of like what should be. What comes starts off as a nice idea, then it's like. It makes me think of Jurassic Park, like where Jeff Goldblum's like, all this time you spent trying to figure out if you could make a dinosaur,
right?
Should you? It's like with the monkey, it's like, oh, yeah, the monkey can do this. But don't forget, in the end, that's still a fucking monkey.
Yeah. It was a fun one.
The snake bit me. Well, bitch, in the end, it's a snake. It's going to bite.
Right. Monkey Shams was all right, I guess. I mean, it was a fun little... But it was like this dude in He had this like little monkey living with him back at his house or something like that, right? And like,
yeah, he was. I think he was a paraplegic, and the monkey was more or less trained to help him. And then that shit's just like, you know what? Fuck you.
Right, but you know what? The poster for the film was very misleading.
Oh yeah, because it's a little
toy.
That little toy. Yeah.
Yeah, the monkey with the two symbols or whatever. Yeah, but that was a sick poster though. That was a really good poster.
Yeah, you definitely. It's funny because that poster makes it look creepy, like
right.
It's gonna be a possessed doll, and in the end, it's like, this motherfucker got a monkey in his
ass. Right, right. Let's see.
Tales then, from the Dark Side.
Well, he wrote that.
The movie wrote it. Two Evil Eyes.
That's one of my favorite films.
You got to remember the movie Two Evil Eyes.
That was the one that, where he collapsed. Have you ever heard of this movie, Two Evil Eyes?
Yes. I think I did see it.
Yeah.
God knows. I actually can say I saw it so long ago, I don't even remember the story. I know I saw it because I remember actually renting it.
Yeah, man. He collabed with Dario Argento, I believe it was.
Oh, yeah. Which, you know, explains the title.
Right.
Two Evil Eyes.
And they both, one of George Romero's, one of his favorite authors is Edgar Allan Poe. So this was Dario Argento's and Romero's stab at Edgar Allan Poe.
Stories.
Well, right.
Yeah.
So it was Romero directed one and Argento directed one. I believe Romero directed The Curious Case of...
So there was two of them, right?
Right.
That's why it's Two Evil Eyes.
yeah, man. And Romero directed The Curious Case of Dr. Voldemort or some shit like that. And Argento directed The Black Cat with Harvey Keitel.
Oh, that's right.
Which
is
pretty freaking good. But yeah,
the facts. Yeah, the facts in the case of M. Voldemort.
There we go. That's what it was.
Better than the fabulous case of Wilbur Valderrama.
Right, right. Or the curious case of Benjamin Button.
You're just old.
But yeah, that was a fun. That was also a very gory and a brutal movie.
And definitely one that's definitely worth seeing because of the fact. I mean, well, it was Argento, right?
Argento helped
with Dawn.
Argento, yeah. Argento released. A European, an Italian cut.
No, because he was the one that wanted Dorman. He's the one that went to Romero, like, yo, you need to make another one. And he was like, I don't know. It's like, motherfucker, I'll fly you to Italy, chill at my villa.
Right,
you
right.
You write the movie, I bring you sex.
I bring you plenty of women and sex.
Do you want a girly boy? I bring girly boy.
Oh my God.
Why am I making it sound like he's a Zohan? You want the fizzy bubbly?
You want girly boy? Bring your girly boy.
We make movie about girly boy. It's horrible. We call it Cry Game.
Yeah. All right. So Two Evil Eyes. Let's see. After that.
The remake. The big one. Night of the Living Dead. The remake.
He didn't direct that. Tom Savini directed
it. Tom Savini directed, but he did write it. But that it was a big. That was so important because of the whole copyright issue that happened with the initial one, the first one.
With Night. Yeah. Yeah.
That this one kind of solidified, basically saying, fuck you, this is mine.
Right, right.
And helped a lot of people that were involved. And it sounds messed up to say, but it's true. It helped the people that were involved in making the first one get the recognition and just get their money.
I agree, yeah. Yeah.
Get paid. I'm like, I'm trying to remember who did it. Somebody actually said in a tweet. I don't even remember who it was. Somebody in a tweet actually just said that... George Romero should like get 5% of every zombie movie's earnings ever made after Night of the Living Dead.
I agree. I don't see why not. All right. The Dark Half. Have you ever watched that?
That's actually one that I've left off. I just have not seen it, and it's one that I do want to see. That's Jonathan Lithgow, right?
Right. I saw it years ago. I don't remember anything about it.
It's I think if I remember, it's. But I think isn't that more or less also technically a what is it? What do you call it? A Stephen King film, isn't it? I thought there was a connection to Stephen King with that one.
There might have been. Yes, it was. Right.
It was the adaptation of the Stephen King novel of the same name. It's written Stephen King wrote, and this is interesting for Stephen King fans too.
Right.
Stephen King wrote that as kind of. A way he was kind of dealing with his own demons because he saw that he wrote that's more or less about himself, the Dark Half,
right?
He was heavily drinking and shit. Basically, it's just dual personality, a writer with dual personality, and the other personality is freaking evil,
right? Right.
And he's basically just dealing with that, fighting back and forth within himself.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I remember that.
And it has a big twist ending. We need to sit down and watch some of these movies.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a while.
And it's funny because it is John Lithgow, which most people, if you think of his career, people think Third Rock from the Sun, Harry and the Hendersons.
Right, right. I like him in Alien Resurrection. He was in it for just a little bit.
I liked him. Okay, he was in... Remember, he was in Tales from the Dark Side. No, Twilight Zone, the movie.
Right.
In the movie, he's the one that saw the thing on the plane and freaks out.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And in the original black and white episode, it was Captain Kirk. What the hell was his name?
William Shatner.
William Shatner, yeah. Yes. And then the two of them got together in an episode of Third Rock from the Sun. You know how John Lithgow was the leader of the aliens?
Right.
Oh my God, keeps calling him Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk.
William Shatner.
William Shatner is the leader of all the aliens who comes to Earth, and they go pick him up at the airport, and William Shatner's like, it was funny when I was on the plane, I thought I saw something on the wing, and then John Lithgow yells, the same thing happened to me. And if you don't know your shit, you don't get it. And you hear the audience just roar, you know, like if you understood that, that was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I laughed, and then as I'm laughing, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Easter egg.
Easter egg. Well, that's a whole basket.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Bruiser.
Bruiser. I think I saw Bruiser. I don't remember. Is that the...
That's the Misfits movie. That's the movie that not only was the soundtrack fully with like the Misfits, but at the end he goes to a Misfits concert and they're actually in the movie.
Yes, and he's the killer, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The killer with that mask. That's what I remember. Because
right
now when I see the picture, I did see this.
Right.
And I do remember some people had issues with it because it was more of a slasher.
It was a definite slasher, yeah.
I think people were expecting something more supernatural or something, right, because of all his previous other horror type movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's not that it was a bad movie, it's just not what people were anticipating.
Right. But it was still, I mean, it still had somewhat of a supernatural thing to it though, I remember.
Yeah, the way it twists back and forth, I remember. Yeah, it was
right. There was something that was happening to him, to his body.
And just his mentality, if I remember. It's like, right, it's almost, which is funny, because I think the guy who played him, Jason Fleming.
Right.
If I'm thinking it's the right actor, I think that's the guy who actually played Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of what's coming to mind for the story here, right, for them. I think there was kind of a thing where he was slowly losing control and wanting to kill more.
Oh, wow.
Like any serial killer does.
Correct. I would know.
We know.
So anyways,
from experience.
Let's see. Then there's. Let's go to his movie.
Land of the Dead would be technically the next one. And
which
that's with Big Daddy.
Right. That's the fourth installment of the Dead series.
And that one, yeah. And that's, I did meet Big Daddy.
You met him?
I got an autograph. I've got a photo posing with him.
Oh, so you got the whole
shebang. He's a tall dude. You know what's funny? He got a deep voice.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, he's got a deep voice and he sings. I met him at a film fest and he had CDs on the table. I'm like, "You sing?" He goes, "Yeah." And he goes and he's like, points at his banner. I didn't realize he played Mufasa in Lion King, like the Broadway one.
No way.
At one point, yeah.
Did he really?
With that voice of his.
Oh shit, dude.
Big old black dude.
Yeah. Oh wow, I did not know that. Oh, that's crazy.
I was like, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, damn, I'm like, this is the kind of guy with that voice, he's probably got that Barry White kind of sound.
You'll never find.
Yeah, he's probably got that thing where it's like, do Big Daddy. Oh, that's scary. Sing to me. Oh, my panties are my God.
Right.
He'll make you piss yourself or make you wet yourself. Either way, your panties gonna be on the floor.
I have a Land of the Dead poster and DVD signed by John Leguizamo.
Oh, remember. Oh, yeah, you man. Son of a bitch.
Words, son. So I got that there. I hated Land of the Dead when I first saw it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I had the whole mentality like, no, man, it's not like the classic movies, dude. It's not like the first three movies.
It took you a couple of watches
and
to start understanding it.
Yeah, and then I got the stick out of my ass, and I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to take it as it is.
Took the stick out of your ass and let Big Daddy in your ass instead?
Let Big Daddy in the ass. I mean,
but no, what I loved about the John Leguizamo twist was, for me,
yeah,
as... I guess what you would call a Hispanic, a Latin American person.
Right.
It was the first time, and especially on a Romero film.
Right.
Because I want to say the white people got to shine, the black people got to shine. It's the first time that he brought in a full Latin character.
Right, who's a badass.
And the fact that who he brought in too, because I was a Leguizamo fan already.
Right.
The fact that Leguizamo played him, I felt it really connected.
Right.
I connected with the character. I got it and brought him in as a badass who wasn't exactly, you could see him as a bad guy, but if you see from his view, he didn't want to be a bad guy. They kind of put him in that position.
Yeah, yeah. I think
and he becomes a hero living and spoiler anyway, and dead. He was still badass.
Yeah.
Fuckboy came back as a zombie. He's like, yo, fuck you.
Right. Again, George Romero in every single one of his dead movies, at least up until Land of the Dead, there's always some type of social commentary in all the dead movies.
Yeah.
So like what you even just said just right there, in Land of the Dead, the Hispanic character was working his ass off, like actually going out to
do the rich white people.
Physical labor for like the rich white people that were like up in like the skyline towers, and they didn't even look like they were living through a zombie apocalypse. They like wore tuxedos. And
oh yeah, they had a mall and everything.
Dennis Hopper played the main bad guy, right? And they were driving Bentleys and stuff like that. So it's so ironic how this like Latin dude is like in the middle of the shit, and he's having these meetings with corporate,
and he's the one in between the zombies and everything. He's
right.
Like the connection between everything.
It's like, again, like it kind of like I feel like it definitely was some type of social commentary. Where it's just like the rich is like, and I don't know if you remember too, the rich people were living in some type of safe haven island.
Yeah, they're on an island in a tower,
right?
Something acres, like,
right?
And the only
way that people can take refuge there is if they paid up. So all the poor people died outside, while all the rich people stayed on that island. And then at the end, the zombies decide to be like, you know what? I think we could swim or whatever. So
and what's funny about that is it makes me think of Fight Club.
Right.
Remember when they go and they get the rich guy and he goes, "We're the ones that drive your cars.
Exactly.
Cook your food. Make your clothes. Don't fuck with us."
Right. Yeah.
And in the end, nothing happens. But in Land of the Dead, Leguizamo is the epitome of, you fucked with us.
Right.
Look what just one guy.
Right.
You just pissed off one little guy and he fucked up your entire world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, John Leguizamo's character in that film was the epitome of like the working class man fighting back against corporate, like America.
I'm doing your work and you still shit on me, right. So you know what?
Yeah, fuck y'all. Like, y'all gonna get eaten alive.
Social commentary. There was more behind the films than most people think.
Yeah, man. In all of Romero's movies, pretty much, in Dawn, Day, like, it's all pretty much the same thing. It's very, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy. Like, the fact that he can combine both of those things, like.
Yeah, this is why a lot of these other movies, like, I'm not even gonna name them, like, but I'm sure you've seen them or heard me mention them at other points. These other horror movies fall because all they are, they're just the horror movie. There's no substance behind it.
Right, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, you can.
There's no message.
You can connect with the character, but when you can connect with the character, I'm not just a, hey, I understand the guy, but you're like, yo, I know what you're going through.
Right.
Even if this zombie shit wasn't happening,
right.
I get you.
Then that's just a good movie.
Yeah, that's where you really connect, and that's where there's actually story and substance behind it.
Without a doubt. Let's see. So you have Land of the Dead. What else did he direct? And then Diary of the Dead, which came out 2 years later.
Which was interesting. And that's where he finally got the social media involved. Social commentary, that's where he brought in the social media.
The social commentary was about how people are always on their fucking phones in the digital age.
Digital age, yeah.
There we go.
That's when the digital age finally came. He brought it into the storyline.
Right. And that's when, like, all these people were online. Everyone was trying to get famous off of their, like, cameras and all these YouTubers and shit. And the whole... Oh, and it was also the first time... Because George Romero was always a very visual person. Like, he was always very good, like, with his... like cinematography,
mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that he dabbled in found footage.
Yes, that's right.
The whole movie was a found footage film,
and it plays well.
And it played excellent. It was terrifying.
And what's funny about the movie is you see both sides of the whole social media thing, because you see this group with their phones, their cameras, these young kids, and they do come across the army guys, not the ones that screw them over, but the black guys that have army base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
None of them are connected, and you can see they're probably still alive now.
Yeah.
If this was the world, because they weren't bothering with the social media shit.
Right.
They were just focused on surviving. That's why they even see them looking at them like, why the fuck even got the camera? Like, who gives two shits?
Yeah, that was a great movie. I mean, a lot of people shitted on it. I thought it was an amazing film. Like, I thought it was terrifying. It was a lot of fun. It was about film students making a movie.
Yeah, so another reason to connect to it, especially with by then he had enough fans that probably already became film directors and stuff.
Right, because
and people
of him.
Still working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of the big fans. Yeah, someone like you can be like, yo, that could easily be me filming this shit.
Right.
Although I probably would have killed you if you started shit about me filming you.
Yeah. So there was Diary of the Dead, and then his last film, Survival of the Dead,
which was connected to
it was in Diary of the
Diary.
Dead. Remember the army guys that?
Yes.
It. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
the army guys that robbed the kids or whatever. It's about them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love. And you know what's funny? I didn't realize it. I think if you look in Land of the Dead,
right,
the leader guy.
Yeah.
Is in Land of the Dead.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you see him as one of the army guys at one point.
Right.
Like a really small role. I think he gets killed in it, but I think that might have been maybe where he might have had ideas rolling with that actor, because I think it's the same actor.
It might have been.
In all three.
Yeah. Yeah, he might have recycled the same dude and just had him like...
Like he might have killed him and then be like, you know, I got an idea for this asshole character.
Yeah. Survival of the Dead was... It was okay. I mean, it wasn't the greatest.
You know what Survival of the Dead sees, and which I don't know if a lot of people realize, I made the connection Survival of the Dead to I Am Legend.
Right.
And not the shitty-ass Will Smith, but the original, storyline, like Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price.
Right, yeah.
Now, if you remember, Vincent Price, the whole world has changed.
Yeah.
Vincent Price is now the boogeyman, and that's why it's I Am Legend.
Right.
He realizes I am the boogeyman. That's what that movie is. The world belongs to them now. We're the boogeyman killing them off.
Correct,
the world's theirs now. It's not ours. We're just the last few bit left before we become them.
That's a good point.
That's what that movie more or less was, which I think a lot of people didn't see it. They just saw it as another zombie, one last zombie movie from him is what I think a lot of people just looked at it as.
Yeah, I mean,
and the connection with the two twin girls. That's the other thing. The fact that you have one in each world, one in the zombie world, one in the living world.
Right. Yeah.
So there was a lot more going on there than most people even caught. I think even now, people that were looking at the movie, I think still haven't realized what was going on.
Yeah, it was very really philosophical in its own.
And as I'm saying it, I'm like, holy shit, how the fuck did I pick up on all that?
Yeah, that's the power of George Romero, dude. And then, you know, I heard something that he was in the works of a new Dead movie, Road of the Dead.
I had heard that he was working on it, because I know, and I'm wondering if there's any connection to Land of the Dead with the big truck, Dead Reckoning.
I think so.
Because the original title for Land of the Dead was going to be Dead Reckoning, and I think he kind of went back to the Of the Dead. He wanted to just keep Of the Dead going.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because the original story to that, if I remember, was going to be focused on the truck, people surviving on that truck, like a convoy.
Right.
That's probably what...
Well,
that was going to be.
Was.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now. I mean, I don't know if he was set to direct that film or if someone else was going to direct it. But nonetheless, I mean, now that he's not on board.
Because, I'm like, was he fully finished with it or was he still in draft form? Who can take over?
It's going to be blood.
Not even young blood, but even writing it, be like, listen, him and King, him and Argento work together. I doubt a studio would just give it to Argento.
I don't doubt that. Oh, maybe you're right.
Just just because the movies Argento makes, it's like they're big to the cult following,
right?
But they're not big. But and if they're gonna make a Romero film, they would probably try and, quite honestly, just squeeze as much out of his name as they can now that he's gone.
Right. Yeah. They're gonna get a young blood to direct it. You know, it might even be his son, because his son directed a movie.
Don't fuck this shit up.
yeah. But then you have that, and there's actually the company I work for, we actually released a documentary called Birth of the Living Dead, and it's a documentary about 9/11 Dead.
I've seen it.
Oh, you've seen it? Awesome.
Seen it.
Yeah, man. And
trust me, every time there's something of Romero, I like a documentary, I'd always make a point to see. I think there's maybe one or two I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah. It's a good documentary. So if you guys want to learn more about 9/11 Dead and just like Romero all in general, we could have touched on 9/11 Dead, but I feel like we have done that in past episodes, and I went on a good 15-minute rant about it.
We want to talk more about him and what he's done, not just the one movie.
Right.
Yes, granted, the movie set off the giant fire across the planet that became the zombie things.
Right.
I mean,
honestly, folks, if you want to hear us talk about Night of Living Dead, that would be a whole hour in itself, a whole episode in itself.
I mean, this is a man who Stephen King tweeted, "Sad to hear my favorite collaborator and good old friend George Romero has died. George, there will never be another like you." That's Stephen King saying this.
Right, man.
I mean, I could definitely see them giving it to Stephen King to write, maybe, or help finish writing.
I mean,
that'd
be wonderful, man.
My favorite author, Brian Keene, wrote on Twitter, "My story about the first time I met George Romero and why people who say don't meet your heroes are full of shit."
Right.
So he had no problem when he met Romero.
Right.
Romero is, I'll tell you right now, he is too nice, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
He is not an asshole at all. And then George Romero's account apparently just said, "We deeply regret the death of our beloved father, George A. Romero. Thank you, all fans, for your love and for following the path of our father." Even Kirk Hammett, big horror fan, Kirk Hammett from Metallica, said, "A fine purveyor of horror has passed. He was and always will be the founding father of the modern zombie movie. Long live Romero."
Yeah,
even,
man.
John Carpenter.
What did he say?
"George Romero was a great director, the father of modern horror movies. He was my friend and I will miss him. Rest in peace, George." This is... he goes, father of modern horror movies. This is a guy who's considered himself one of the fathers of horror movies.
So sad.
Shit. Yo, we got to find some of that Eternal Youth shit and inject it into John Carpenter.
Yeah, man. Because
that boy doesn't just do movies. He does music.
Lord, man. Last year. Yeah.
Keyboard stuff he does.
Last year, we lost Wes Craven. This year, we lost George Romero.
Ay, ay, ay.
And you know what, man? Last year, it happened during the summer. Around the same time. Fucking sad, dude.
Okay, so that means next year we're putting
a close watch on John Carpenter,
and we're gonna keep him on a plane and just consistently keep him out of summer weather.
Right.
Fuck it, we're sending him his ass to Antarctica.
Right. Yeah, man. But yeah, I mean, it is a. Ed and I are trying our very best to keep our, heads high here, but we're both very sad.
I meet sadness with comedy and a smile.
Right.
Motherfucker, I'm broken inside.
Yeah, same here, man. This guy, he was he's definitely the reason why I even like movies, to be honest with you. I just will never forget when I first saw Night of Living Dead, like, decades ago when I was a kid, and it's very sad just seeing a hero, one of my heroes just gone in a heartbeat, you know?
And this is someone that we can say, not just someone that we just jumped onto and like, oh, I like his stuff. No, this is someone that his movies were around before us.
Right.
So we literally grew up with him and his work and his creative mind. This is something we grew up on and watched everyone else trying to emulate.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I'll never forget. Yeah, I mean, I was so excited when I was first able to see a George A. Romero film in theaters with Land of the Dead. I was so excited. I'm like, wow, I can actually watch a George Romero movie in theaters, and then I watched all the other ones in theaters too, and I thought to myself, like, this is great. And even in my adulthood, I'm like, I was hoping I would see another one, but
I'm happy I got to meet him.
Right.
Which I don't think you did, right?
No, I never did, unfortunately.
And the man, I'll be honest, it is at a convention where he's meeting people every day. Even the 2 minutes he gave me, you don't feel like you're intruding on him. You just feel like you're sitting down with someone like, yeah, what do you
like
want to know?
Like an old pal.
Like an old buddy, like, yeah, what do you want to know? Did you want to ask me something? He's cool. Took photos. Was really cool. I know, it's funny. I know my brother has a photo and put it up online somewhere. My photo, I kept it personal.
Right.
It's in, and to make sure it didn't get lost.
Right.
I put it in something that I know I was definitely not going to try to lose. My copy, my VHS copy of a horrendous movie called Hard Rock Zombies. It's right in there, and it's a nice shot of me and him just looking up at the camera. And this is around the same time I first met John Russo, who wrote the movie and everything with him.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how he's doing, though.
Yeah, man. I know he's not, everyone is torn.
I know he's not big on social media, but yeah, I mean, but he was doing conventions a lot, John Russo and stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. So, with that being said, I mean, drop something in the comments and talk about your favorite Romero movies or your favorite Romero memories. I mean, you know.
Eje viejo.
Yeah. Se murió el viejito.
He's like, it's like, for someone that grew up watching and everything, it's like losing an uncle that you haven't got to meet. It's like having
it really is.
It's like having that uncle in your family that you know about, but you just never got to meet, but you know you like was always around.
It that's exactly how it feels. That's exactly because like you grow so attached to this person because like this person's been a part of your life like since forever. So like it's exactly how it feels like a distant uncle that you never met like that you found out has passed. You know.
And like Brian Keene said, you know, people say don't meet your heroes. You know, this was one that you could meet and there'd be no complaint.
Right.
He wasn't going to be a dick to you.
Right. Yeah.
And he was a large son of a bitch, too. He was tall.
He was a big guy, man. His hands are huge, dude. Yeah. Big guy.
To think, like even he described it, him and his ragtag team of people that put together one movie and then made a career. And then basically, because of him, everyone working under him and with him, this random guy born to a Cuban family in the Bronx.
Yeah, man.
That 77 years later, we'd be like legend. We can't say living legend anymore, but legend.
Yeah, man.
God damn.
Yeah, he'll definitely be missed.
And to anyone out there in the movie business or anything, if you put this movie out or something based on this movie, don't fuck this shit up because I will find you.
Yeah,
I swear to God, don't not fuck up the man's legacy. I'm sure there's other things he has written out there, notes and stuff that people are dying to see now.
Well, yeah, I hope so. this like can't be the end, you know. But
there's got to be something he's left behind that we're gonna see pop out somewhere.
Hopefully.
Even if it's just like some kind of notebook notes that like appear at a museum, because his shit belongs in a museum already.
Without a doubt.
A lot of his shit already is.
Yeah.
But those notes.
Oh yeah.
What, you know, what does he have written down? What ideas did he put out that we haven't seen yet?
Some more relics we gotta find. Oh yeah.
And with that note, thank you, Mr. Romero.